Hello. Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulaski. Everything sucks. Raw sucks. Raw's terrible. Raw is so bad. Raw is so bad. WWE actively hates its viewers and then runs commercials all through Raw saying, "We're going to be touring. Buy tickets to our show." But you're telling me through the way that you produce your TV show that you hate me. Why would I pay you money to watch the show live? Why would I do that? Raw's just a rerun now. Every episode is a brand new live rerun. And the stuff that isn't a rerun, the new stuff, is just the first episode. And it'll be a rerun of that next week. Like, I don't know. The best thing about Raw from last night is a match with zero stakes. It probably won't actually lead to anything. And it's very possible we're going to get that exact same match again next week. So even the really great thing from last night will be bad by next week because we'll have to watch it again and again and again and again and again and again. And anytime there's like, "Ooh, that's interesting. I might like that." I have to remind myself, no, I'm not going to like that. Because if it's any good, they'll run it into the ground. Or Vince will get some bug up his ass about something and forget all about it. Here's the deal. Touring stuff starts in July. Nothing is going to happen for the next 6 weeks. Nothing. They're going to save all their big stuff for when they have a live crowd. I'm anticipating major returns, stuff like that. Big time angles, all that stuff going in from July through a SummerSlam. And then there'll be the fall doldrums. And then they'll build back up again for Rumble and into Mania, whatever. But like right now, these next 6 weeks are going to be impossible because Vince isn't going to try. Why would he try? What, for what? For why? Who cares? Raw this week started with the exact same thing that Raw last week started with, which is Bobby Lashley coming to the ring with a bunch of hoes, like he's the Godfather. They're not the same hoes from last week. Now, it used to be a thing where like Godfather's hoes would just be local talent, hot girls they found on the street in Kansas City 1 week, and then Denver the next week, and then Minneapolis the week after that. You know what I mean? But now they're doing the same thing. It's in Tampa every week, so why are we pretending we can't just have the same women again? And some of the women that were hoes last week got a hell of a following online. I'm assuming those people were very upset. They didn't watch, didn't get to watch their favorite hoes this week. That's too bad for them. You know what it was? The hoes got over on their own. They got over organically, so Vince had to bury them. We'll keep them off TV for a while. Cool them off. We'll do something else with them. Sit in catering for a while, hoes. You'll be fine. So he comes to the ring. And they rehash shit from last week. Most everything is a rehash from the week before. And everyone, they show the video of Kofi winning the match last week with the help of Drew McIntyre, and they come back, and all the hoes are booing the video. Boo! The man who's going to pay me $400 later. That guy lost, so I'm booing the video. Well, we all know that the implication is that these are all paid escorts, yes? Like, that's, we can all agree, yes? The implication is that MVP has hired these women who are professional escorts to hang out with Bobby Lashley and, like, probably do sexual favors for him later. That's part of what you hire the escorts for. Yes. We're not under the assumption that when he went to a club last night and said, who wants to show up at WWE tomorrow to suck Bobby Lashley's dick for free? That's not a thing they probably did. So these are all, I mean, sex work is work. I'm not at all shading these women for this. Good for you. Get that money. But that is a weird thing to be doing in 2021, to put that on a family show. So Lashley cuts a promo on Drew McIntyre, and right away I'm like, why are we talking about Drew McIntyre? I swear to God, guys, last week, Kofi won, and Drew hit Lashley with the cane he stole from MVP, and Kofi was able to roll him up, and I thought that was Drew being a good guy, because he celebrated with him later, like right after that on the ramp, being a good guy, being like, if I don't get another shot at Bobby Lashley, then Kofi deserves it. So I'm going to be a good guy and help out Kofi. And fuck over Bobby Lashley, because honestly, fuck Bobby Lashley. I hate Bobby Lashley. I thought that's what we were doing with Drew McIntyre. I thought he was showing himself the door on this program with Bobby Lashley and opening said door so that Kofi Kingston could walk through it. That is honestly what I thought they were doing with Drew McIntyre. I was wrong. They're making Drew McIntyre into an asshole babyface. An entitled, shitty, douche babyface. Give me another rematch. I deserve a rematch. I've had 25 so far, but I'm always getting my rematch. Well, why, dude? You lost. And Bobby Lashley is perfectly right to be like, no, I don't want to face you anymore. And you should move on to other shit, honestly. Like, it's kind of obsessive.
So Drew comes out again to interrupt them, and they don't like it. He says, your business is my business. Well, who likes a person who does that? Your business is my business. That person, nobody likes that person. I would have won at WrestleMania. I woulda, coulda, shoulda. Oh, everyone loves that guy. That's a guy you like. The guy who makes excuses. Oh, we all love him. They have no fucking clue how to write a baby face. It's so bad. Maybe this is the beginning of a heel turn, and I'll eat my words if it is, but I don't trust them.
Maybe deep down you know you don't have the balls to beat me. Hey, girls, does he have the balls?
Anyway, New Day comes out, Kofi with Xavier. Hey, you're all making some good points. Things move fast out here, I understand. But let's not forget that I pinned you last week. Hey, you know, it's kind of funny, Drew, how you're out here asking for rematch after rematch after rematch. I never got my rematch. When I lost the WWE title, nobody gave me a rematch. And it's very true. So he's, Kofi's like, why don't you step aside and let me do what, again, what you haven't been able to do in months, which is pin Bobby Lashley. And Adam Pearce says, how about this? I got an, it's a great, blah, blah, blah. Here, Adam Pearce, I'm a guy. I have thoughts. So how about, Kofi, versus Drew tonight. And then, the winner will face Bobby Lashley at Hell in a Cell. So they're going to have the VIP lounge on the stage. So Bobby Lashley and MVP can watch from the stage, while Kofi and Drew have the match right now. And so this is the first of a series of, commercials for WWE touring. I missed, I think, the first two, but I'm sure they're all the same. They're heavily scripted. It's going to be so great to get back in front of our fans. I can't wait for the tour. So please come out and support us because we need you. We love you so much. Please come out and buy a ticket. So Braun is first. The Damian Priest does it. And the ones that I remember were like, John Morrison, who's like, I thought they were shaved inside of his head. They're painted on his hair, stenciled on his hair, drip, drip, one on each side of his head. And so he, and then, Jeff Hardy, poor Jeff Hardy. Somebody made a good point on Twitter. Like, it's a good point and it's also not. Everyone who's like, Jeff Hardy's not supposed to win. Like, he's just there to, like, put over guys and put over the younger talent. It's his time to step aside now. He's old. Well, he happens to be younger than AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. So, I mean, he's younger than AJ Styles. So I didn't know that. I knew he was younger than Brock and knew he was younger than Lashley. Lashley, by the way, does not look like he's older than Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy looks every bit of 42 and more. He's put himself through a lot. That guy has taken enough ladder bumps in his life to last a man 70 years, not 42. But he's out there and he's got his face painted for what? For this? Did you spend hours? I don't know, maybe not hours. Maybe you're really good at it now. Maybe you can do it in like 45 minutes. Painting your face with eyes on your eyelids so you can come out and say, "I can't wait to do this in front of the people." Come on. And then, of course, the worst was Dana and Mandy, who are so bad at talking. I know, I honestly was fooled. I thought that Mandy was better. I thought that Mandy in her feud with Sonya was getting better. But it turns out she was just good because she was in the feud with Sonya. Mandy's terrible. Like, she's getting better in the ring. Good for her. She can't talk worth a damn. And Dana is the worst. Give her a script. She's like, "That's right. I'm Dana Brooke. And I say that we are very glad to have you back as fans in our arenas. We can't wait to flex in front of you." She's terrible. Oh God, it's awful. Poor girl. Like, I mean, it's, I really think I do. That if she and Emma could have stayed in NXT for another 6 months together as an act, Emma would have become NXT champion, women's champion, and Dana would have gotten over as her stooge, her flunky, her henchwoman. But they brought up Emma and her together as a package deal. Emma got hurt, and Dana floundered just floundered. She's never found her footing since. That's just so sad for her. But man, she is just not good. Kofi versus Drew is a fine match. It's a 22-minute match. The whole segment from the beginning of the night, from Bobby Lashley walking down with the hose till the end of this match and the resolution of it. I say resolution in quotes because there really was none. It's like a 48-minute segment. 22 of that is this match. Kofi and Drew is fun. Actually, you know what? That's a fresh matchup. I don't think we've ever seen, at least not recently, Drew versus Kofi, which that's all I can ask for is fresh matchups, right? I pitched this on the NXT show because we were talking about baby faces and who gets over as a baby face and how you get over as a baby face. What if Drew, instead of, I'm not saying you can't really do this with Kofi being involved, but like independent of all of that, Drew coming out and demanding a rematch is a bad look. It seems like such like an entitled bullshit thing to do. What if Drew says, yeah, I lost. I mean, if you ask me, I feel like I had you beat at WrestleMania, but that's my fault. I was the one who got distracted. I can't blame anybody but myself. And at Backlash, I thought I had you. When I shoved you into that electrical box and the sparks flew, I thought you were down for the count. I thought I only had Braun to worry about. Should have had eyes in the back of my head, I guess, Bob. But fair enough. You pin Braun, you win the match. And I know I'm not entitled to a rematch. Yet. Here's my pitch to you, Bobby Lashley. I want to work my way back to that title. I want to earn it. For the next 8 weeks, you pick a guy for me to face in the ring. If I beat him, I move on to the next week. If I ever lose a match in the next 8 weeks against your hand-picked opponents, if I lose one match, I'm out. If I win all 8 in a row, then I get to face you for that WWE title. And if I ever lose one of those matches, those 8 matches, or if I lose to you in that WWE title match, which I will earn, if I lose at any point, I can never challenge you for that title ever again. Then we get 8 fresh matchups, one a week with Drew McIntyre facing somebody we've never seen him face before, or at least somebody we haven't seen him face in a very long while. If he wins all of those matches, he gets to face Bobby Lashley. It'll be different this time because this time he's earned it and he will lose again to Bobby Lashley, but Bobby Lashley will not need MVP's help. He will beat Drew clean. And Drew, true to being a man of his word, will go off and do something else until somebody else beats Bobby Lashley. And then Drew can win a battle royal or he can become a title challenger for that title later. It would help out Raw so much. The same guy for like, it's been Drew's time for a year and a half straight. He won the Royal Rumble and became top contender, right? Then he went on to Mania. He won the match versus Brock Lesnar in the PC in front of nobody. He was the champion. A bunch of guys besides Orton that he faced were a bunch of losers, and he faced Lashley. Lashley only lost that match last June because Lana was so bad at being a manager that she had to stop being a manager and be a really bad wrestler. He faced a bunch of losers. He faced Dolph Ziggler twice. Drew's been either the champion or the top contender for literally almost literally a year and a half. It's time for him to move on. And he can't just be entitled to more title reigns or more title chances. He's got to earn them now. I think that's a really good story for how you can get him to earn it, is to face a bunch of guys we've never seen him face before. And then if he is that title match versus Bobby Lashley, you can either have him win it back if you really want to in a redemptive moment, or you can have him lose that and move the fuck on. So Kofi versus Drew is a good match. At some point during the match, because Drew spends most of the match either slinging Kofi around or looking at Bobby Lashley and taunting him from inside the ring. At some point during the match, I didn't see where, because I really wasn't paying attention, because I already knew what happened in the match. Even if I didn't have it spoiled for me on Twitter, I was watching the Bucks game during the game, during the Raw last night. I didn't see any of it except for like the last hour live. Because watching the Bucks win a 34-point blowout is way more interesting to me than watching Raw. If I hadn't had the match spoiled on Twitter, I still would have known what was going to happen, because it's WWE. At some point in the match, Lashley and MVP make it down to ringside. They're sitting in the chairs at ringside. And Drew is out of the ring, yelling at Lashley. And then Kofi jumps out of the ring, hits Drew, and knocks him into Lashley. And Drew and Kofi get back in the ring, but it's only a matter of time before Lashley and MVP both hit the ring and attack Drew and Kofi. Xavier gets involved. He gets smashed up by Lashley for his troubles. But it's, again, it's a 22-minute match, which, with a double DQ as the planned finish, they knew for a fact that when this match started, the plan was, let's have him wrestle for 22 minutes to kill time. Then, after they've killed each other and had a really good match against each other, you know what? A fresh matchup for 22 minutes. We're going to fuck all that up, destroy all that goodwill we've built with that match and that fresh matchup by having the double DQ. Just so we can kill time and have that match again next week. Because that match that is announced next week, that is announced later in the night, Adam Pearce says to Drew and Kofi, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to run it back. Really? Is that what we're going to do? Drew and Kofi next week. And for the same stipulation, whoever wins that match gets Bobby Lashley at Hell in a Cell. But this time, if Bobby or MVP even goes down to ringside, they will be suspended for 90 days without pay. So I guess Bobby Lashley and MVP won't be interfering in that match next week. I guess Bobby Lashley and MVP won't be interfering in that match next week, but that doesn't mean somebody else can't. Do we all think the play is Bobby versus Drew versus Kofi at Hell in a Cell? Because I still think they're going to do that. I still think somebody's going to try and get involved next week, not MVP and not Bobby Lashley, and it's going to end in another double DQ, and they're going to be like, ah, fuck it, let's just do a triple threat. Or Drew's going to win. And when Drew wins, then we're going to see Drew versus Lashley again? What should happen is that Drew McIntyre loses
next week. Now, they will never do it clean, so it has to be that Jinder Mahal attacks it. Remember Jinder Mahal? He came back on Raw like 3 weeks ago. They haven't mentioned him since. That was a whole fucking deal. Like, he's back, former WWE champion. He's got a couple of new guys backing him up. One half of Indu Share and a guy named Shanky. Were they ever going to do anything with that, or what's the deal with that? Hey, remember Mansoor? Remember how they signed him to a contract on Raw live on television and then gave him a match versus Sheamus, U.S. title, U.S. champion on the same night? And they haven't mentioned him since? Like, I know Vince gets tired of things, but usually it takes him a few weeks, maybe a month, maybe 2 months. They put Mansoor, they had him sign his fucking Raw contract on TV. When does that ever happen? Did I miss something? Is there going to be a Sands of Time next week? Next month? We build into something where the Saudi guys got to go over? That's a big deal, having a guy sign his contract on TV. And they didn't do anything with it? Jinder comes back. He's got two new dudes with him. These guys look like they might be a formidable force. Let's not do anything with it. You guys are fucking incompetent. So fucking incompetent. So last week, Charlotte faced Asuka, and Asuka won. Mostly because, it was a good match. And Charlotte lost, you could say, certainly because Rhea Ripley got involved. She wouldn't hit her with anything or anything. It's just a distraction. Just distraction. That's the way things work. Everything's a distraction. So Charlotte should have been smarter if she's the best ever and not been distracted. But she was distracted. Asuka beat Charlotte last week. Okay? Remember that. It's going to be important later. So Ripley confronted Flair backstage. Hey, good luck with tonight's match versus Asuka. I'm sorry, what? Didn't we fucking do that last week? Are we doing that again? Charlotte and Asuka have really good chemistry together. They work really well together. They have good matches almost every time. I can say with confidence now, I never need to see them wrestle ever again. Stop. Running it back. Stop doing shit over and over and over and over again. It ruins it. It ruins it. So, Charlotte's like, you just want to be like me. I'll be seeing you in Hell in a Cell. At that point, we don't know what the hell that means. Why would you face? You lost to Asuka last week. Why the hell would you be the person to face Rhea at Hell in a Cell? That doesn't make any sense. Nikki Cross showed up. She looks great. Good for her. She says, hey, how about this? I think I can beat both of you. So, which one of you wants to face me in a match tonight? And Flair says, listen, if I wasn't facing Asuka tonight, I'd beat you in 2 minutes. And you're not with my time, Nikki. And Ripley's like, listen, why do you do that? This is why nobody likes you, because you talk down to people all the time. Okay? Well, why don't you beat her then? And Ripley was like, fine. You person who always talks down to people. You suck. Nikki Cross, I'd be happy to beat you in 2 minutes. Like, it didn't have to be a beat the clock challenge. Like, Rhea Ripley could say, no, the 2 minutes thing, that's an insult to you, Nikki. We're not going to do that. I'd like to have a match with you, one-on-one. It's not going to be for the title, but I'd be honored to have a match with you, Nikki. I think you're a great competitor. We never faced each other before. Let's do it. Wouldn't that be something interesting? Cool, huh? It'd be better than what they fucking did do, which is Rhea Ripley versus Nikki Cross. If you're positioning Charlotte Flair, the biggest heel you have on Raw at the moment, like the most pure fuck you heel, you're a piece of shit. The way that you talk about yourself and the fans and everybody else in the division that you are in makes you a giant heel. If you are positioning her as the contender to the champion, you got to make that champion somebody you want to root for. So here's what you don't do. You don't have her try to embarrass a former multi-time number one contender to the SmackDown championship. A former tag team champion. You don't have her try to embarrass her by beating her in 2 minutes. You say, that's an insult to you, Nikki. I'd like to have a straight up match with you. No time limit. Let's do it. Then you have her beat her. And you help her up afterwards. You hold her arm up and you say, what a great match. Thank you so much. I have a lot of respect for you, Nikki Cross. That's what you do. You don't have her have a fucking beat the clock match versus Nikki Cross where she appears to take Nikki lightly. Like Nikki doesn't have a chance against her. Then when Nikki Cross actually gets in some moves against her, you don't have her completely lose track of the fact that it's a beat the clock match and just beat on this woman who's half her size in the corner until the buzzer goes off. And then have her look up at the screen going, what? What do you mean? Because she lost a beat the clock match against Nikki Cross. And here's what you don't do if you want Nikki Cross to be credible ever again. You don't have her take a victory lap around the ring because she somehow managed to not get pinned in 2 minutes. The only person who comes out of this looking good at all is Charlotte, who gets to come down to the ring dressed in her finery and look at Rhea like, you know, look how bad you are, man. You couldn't beat her. You didn't have to take that challenge, but you did, and you lost. Don't you feel stupid? And then Rhea's got to stand there in the middle of the ring fuming. So guess what happens next week, and I goddamn guarantee it. Rhea beats the hell out of Nikki Cross to prove a point, probably, right? Wouldn't that be how you do it? But because they don't fucking have any idea if Rhea is a heel or a face or what. They have no fucking clue.
Charlotte Flair versus Asuka. I'm going to check this out. It felt like a long match to me, so. Charlotte Flair versus Asuka is a good match. These guys have good matches against each other. Yeah. Almost as long as that Drew and Kofi match. 21 minutes and 25 seconds. A long-ass match. Charlotte versus Asuka. They're killing time, man. They got no ideas. Go out there and wrestle for 22 fucking minutes. Thanks, guys. Now, girls, go out there and wrestle for 22 fucking minutes. They got no ideas what they're doing. Last week, the match between Asuka and Charlotte was 16 and a half minutes. Charlotte beats Asuka. And she, like, reversed the Asuka lock into a roll-up or something. So she gets, she uses the victory. There's no distraction, but it's also a roll-up. Same basic thing that that Asuka did last week. Charlotte beats Asuka, right? Charlotte beats Asuka last night. The week before, Asuka beat Charlotte. It was a distraction, but since when does that count against anybody in WWE? It never does, right? We might think, well, did Asuka really win? They don't fucking think like that. That's not how they book their show. Asuka won last week. Charlotte won this week. I think the stipulation was last week, if Charlotte beats Asuka, then Charlotte gets a match against Rhea Ripley for the title. But Charlotte lost last week. Does that mean Charlotte gets another chance to win one match against Asuka? And if she's able to do that, she gets another title shot? I mean, like, I know it's a faux pas to say Charlotte gets way too many challenge chances and shit. She gets way too many opportunities. It's just too much. She shouldn't be getting all of these title opportunities. It's probably because of favoritism. I know we're not supposed to say that. Tell me another reason, though. Because this doesn't make any fucking sense. Asuka won last week. Charlotte won this week. Therefore, Charlotte gets a one-on-one match with Rhea Ripley. Make that make fucking sense. 50-50 booked into a title pick, into a title opportunity? What? How did, how, why? In what way? How is that a thing? By the way, watching these two women fight each other, like, I don't think they're ever going to do this again, just because I just don't think they're going to, but they might. If they ever, ever, ever try to sell us on the fact that Charlotte is the person that Asuka would call to be her tag partner for a shot at the tag team titles on a pay-per-view because Lana got hurt the week before. They were like, who would Asuka call to be her tag partner? Oh, I know who it would be. Her blood rival, Charlotte. The person that she's had big-time matches with and hard-fought matches with, who she hates viscerally in the ring. She can't stand her. She tries to hurt her because Charlotte tries to hurt her. Charlotte ended her undefeated streak. Asuka calls up Charlotte and says, hey girl, want to be my tag partner? And Charlotte's like, you know how much I respect you? Absolutely. I'm in. I'm going to try to sell us on that for a few months. Fucking bullshit. They think us we're fucking suckers. They think we're suckers. The same way they're like, hey, we're going to do a 22-minute match with no finish, and then we're going to make you watch the same match again with the same stipulation next week, but this time, we promise it'll be a real match next week. We promise. They think we're fucking suckers. Also, we're touring! So glad to have you guys back. Please buy tickets to come see our touring show. We think you're a bunch of fucking suckers. Please buy tickets. It's insulting. I used to think, guys, that even as much as I hated Raw and sometimes SmackDown, I would still watch, even though I wasn't being paid to. Like,
I'd have it on in the background or something because I'd want to like keep up with the storylines. And in case it got good, I'd want to know what's happening. That's what I used to think. But I can say for certain now, the day that I don't do this podcast anymore is the day I stop watching Raw for good. Ever. Never again. I might watch like a YouTube clip if something crazy happened. But that's it. Like, it's just, they actively despise us for choosing to watch their show. God, it's so horrible.
How does Charlotte beating Asuka after losing to Asuka mean Charlotte gets a one-on-one title match? How does, just make it make sense, guys. Make it make sense.
Bobby Lashley's getting a massage from the models. He's been summoned to Adam Pearce. That's when they tell him that he can't interfere with the match next week. So they do show a video package. By the way, WWE's video packages, you know how great they are? They're so great, right? We always talk about how, man, you know what? If you watch the video packages, you get hyped for this match, even though you've been watching every episode of Raw and you know the build has been absolute dog shit. When they put together one of those video packages that run like during the pre-show, the pay-per-view, it kind of makes you forget about how dog shit the build was, because somehow they edit together a 3-minute video of this feud that makes it look really fucking great. Those guys who work in the video department, those editors, those people, the way they archive that footage and put it in there, man, they're fucking wizards. Whatever they pay those guys, it's not enough. You know how we all think that? Vince fired almost all of them today. I say Vince, it didn't come from him because, you know, he's got people who run shit for him. But if you think it didn't go through him to get the okay, you're fucking crazy. Everybody's, get the fuck out. We don't need you anymore. Why would we? We're touring now. Budget cuts. Probably, they probably had somebody call up and say budget cuts. Budget cuts might have been the reason for Adnan Virk being let go. Adnan Virk, the Adnan Virk experiment, which I think is what they call his finishing move, or that's the Adnan Virk experience, the Adnan Virk Express. Not really sure. Poor guy, he was fed to the wolves. Had no business taking this job. I was actually really getting used to the way he called matches because he seemed like a guy who's never seen wrestling before. And if you had watched any of the way he called matches the last couple of weeks and thought of it this way, here's a guy who's used to doing baseball, right? He's mostly like an in-studio studio show host who's like, here's a thing that happened in this baseball game last night. Let me throw it over to our analysts who are going to talk about the baseball game. That's usually what he does. He's done some play-by-play in baseball. You know what play-by-play is in baseball? It's this. Guy to my right who played 15 years in the big leagues, the guy we're seeing pitch today, he's got a 98-mile-an-hour fastball and a 93-mile-an-hour slider. Talk about how hard it is to distinguish between those two pitches and when to swing and when to take the pitch. That he tosses it over to that guy and lets that guy talk. And then in the middle of it, the pitcher will throw a ball and say, low and away, outside, ball two. Continue with what you were saying. And then the other guy keeps talking. That's a baseball. That's how baseball works.
So because he's a baseball guy, he's watching this thing and he's saying, hey, Corey Graves, what do you think that Kofi Kingston needs to do to beat Drew McIntyre? Because that's just how he thinks broadcasting works, because that's what he does. Nobody taught him any different. Now, though, if you watch the last couple of weeks, you watch him watch a match. It's like he's never seen wrestling before. And if you watch it thinking that, here's a guy who does baseball, and they plopped him down in the middle of a wrestling broadcast and say, call what you see. He doesn't know the names of the moves. He just knows it's athletic and crazy as hell. And so sometimes he will have an honest reaction of, oh, wow! That's an honest reaction to seeing something happen that he did not expect to see. When Tom Phillips goes, oh, that's fucking in the script. That's why Tom Phillips sucks. Because he goes, oh, because Vince McMahon told him to go, oh, more. Adnan Virk goes, ho, ho, wow, oh, baby, that was crazy. Because he's just seen a German suplex for the first time in his life. R.I.P. Adnan Virk's career in WWE. Somebody should not have hired him. But he said that it was a mutual decision because the touring was such a grind. He said that, no, the live events schedule for Raw was such a grind, and I was like, it's in Tampa every week at the same time, once a week. Like you did one pay-per-view. That was also in Tampa. Now, if you want to make me believe that touring starting in July was going to be a grind for you and your family, I gotcha. Flying out every week to different places, sure, I get you. That ain't why you were let go, though. Anyway, back before I talked about how Vince likes to fire people. And I don't know what the hell they're going to do with somebody calling Raw next week. Probably Tom Phillips again. It should be Vic Joseph, but I don't want him to leave NXT because I think he's good in NXT. So there was a video package. That's what started me on this fucking tangent of the Hurt Business and Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin getting, you know, jumped out of the gang and their fight between the two of them. And they have a match again this week, and Cedric Alexander cuts the same promo. They're really stretching for time. Guys, they have nobody else to use. There's nobody on the roster. Literally, they're really shorthanded this week. They have nobody there. There's nobody on the roster. Can't do anything. Angel Garza put a rose in various Drew Gulak orifices for several weeks in a row. Not this week. Nope, we're not doing this week. Nope, not going to do it. No gender this week. No Jeff Hardy this week. No Damian Priest this week, capitalizing on him finally being done with John Morrison and The Miz. You'd have Damian. I know he cut a stupid promo about, please pay money to come watch our shitty, shitty show. I know he cut a promo about that. He wasn't on the show, though. Braun Strowman, who was a couple of weeks ago the top. Guys, I don't necessarily know what you do with this, but it'd be a fresh matchup. How about Damian Priest versus Braun Strowman is a thing we start setting up? If you're going to put Damian over somebody, Braun seems kind of bulletproof. They just like to build him up into something all the time, and his thing now is he's probably going to put over people, at least for a while. Why not start a Damian Priest? Randy wasn't on the show. Randy Orton wasn't on the show. You have fucking matches that go 20 minutes. You have people cutting promos that don't need to be cut. Cedric Alexander cut a promo on Shelton Benjamin before the match where he just screamed at Shelton to look at him. Look at me when I'm talking to you, Shelton. I'm in my prime. You're old. That was the entire promo, but like multiplied over 5 minutes. And remember, that was the same promo that he cut on Shelton when they broke up as a tag team a few weeks ago. Lucha House Party, not on the show last night. Viking Raiders, not on the show last night. Not on the show for over a month, I think. They did a vignette for the fucking Lucha House Party where they were Lucha lit like 2 weeks ago. They haven't been seen on the fucking show since. You have a vast array of people at your disposal, unless you fired all of them too. Put them on your fucking show, Vince! Shelton and Cedric is a fine little match. But guess what? Shelton won last time. This time, Cedric wins. There's a very good moment where Cedric won't stop yapping at Shelton. He's holding him by the wrist and opening him up so he can just kick him in the chest over and over again. And Shelton gets tired of that, picks him up, grabs Shelton's wrist, and yanks him in for a short-arm clothesline. It was really good. But Cedric is able to hit him with a thumb to the eye and hits the neutralizer to get the pin. So this is a storyline now, Cedric versus Shelton, and I honestly don't know what they're going to do. Whoever wins the feud needs to like be positioned to move on and do other good things. If Shelton wins this feud, he should absolutely have matches versus Sheamus for the U.S. title. But I don't know they're going to do that with Shelton. Whoever loses the feud is definitely going to catering, and whoever wins the feud might be going to catering too. I don't know. So last week after Orton RKO'd people or whatever, it was 2 weeks ago. And then last week Orton and Kofi had a match and Orton got pinned by Kofi. And then Riddle tried to play peacemaker. He got, he shoved down, Xavier Woods. So he's turning to the dark side. So he and Xavier Woods have a match last night. And it's a match with no stakes against two nominal baby faces, I would say. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But right now they are. The match is great. The match between Riddle, alleged rapist, Riddle. I have to say it every time so I don't forget. Riddle versus Woods is really, really great. God damn, it's so good. I hate saying that because of one half of them. But it's so good. And it lets Xavier do some amazing stuff. There are so many spots. This is a match that should be watched. I think that's the thing that we can say very easily. It's fast paced for the fact that like it's only 13 minutes compared to 22 minutes for other matches. There's some nuts spots. Like Xavier's way stronger than he has any right to be at his size. And so is Riddle. Like he does the outside in German suplex over the ropes. Xavier does this crazy vertical suplex thing, like yanking Riddle off the mat and up into the suplex position immediately. It was really great. Riddle wins with an out of nowhere RKO and then says, "That was for you, Randy." So either this is a match with no stakes that's going nowhere, that was just a match that happened, and now it shows that Riddle beat New Day, so he wants to be Randy's friend more than he wants to be the New Day's friend. Or we're going to get this exact same match next week with Xavier versus Riddle, and maybe Xavier wins. I don't know. But there's no reason for us to believe that either, A, we won't get this match 12 times, or B, that it's actually building to something good. Xavier looked amazing, but then he lost the match. So I don't know what they're going to do. But he deserves, this match proves it, a good, hefty singles run. Like, if you're going to find somebody who really should get a U.S. title program versus Sheamus, why not fucking Xavier Woods? Like, Big E's doing stuff as a singles. Kofi's doing stuff as a singles again. Xavier Woods deserves it, man. He really does. He's put in so much work for this company. He let him take control of Up, Up, Down, Down, which was his thing. He deserves it. Oh, golly. So, AJ heads to the ring by himself and leaves Omos in the back. Which, I mean, he's a babyface now. So that kind of cements it. I mean, he was a heel. From week to week, he turned babyface. They never explained why. Now, he's babyface because he leaves his giant friend in the back, this very large individual man. And he's going to face Jackson Ryker by himself. And Jackson Ryker comes out by himself. And there's no Elias for about 45 seconds. AJ's selling for Jackson fucking. Why is Jackson Ryker doing anything? Like, he's bad. Not to mention he's a horrible, disgusting fucking bigot. But beyond that, like, he's just bad. Bad. AJ sends Ryker to the floor, then drop kicks him. And then he's going to slide Ryker in there. But Elias hits him with a jumping knee out of nowhere on the floor. And then he hides. And Ryker takes advantage against the pin. And Omos comes down, catches Elias. Elias and Ryker run up the ramp. But Omos chases them. He sprints after them. He's a lot faster than he should have to be. He's actually fast. When he's running, he's bigger. I think he used to play football, so like those guys can move. So he just runs up and just pounces, basically. Elias through the LED boards. And he checks on AJ. So Humberto Carrillo and Sheamus are going to have a match again. Was this for the title? I don't think it was for the title. Does Humberto Carrillo never get a title match? Like, whatever. Glad to see Humberto's alive and not dead after that thing a couple of weeks ago. So this is good. Yeah, it's Sheamus beating up Carrillo fighting back. That's all good, I suppose. And by the way, it's unconscionable that they had Jackson Ryker pin AJ Styles. Just wanted to put that out there. I don't think I mentioned that. It's fucking unconscionable. But of all the things that happened on Raw, like, I wasn't surprised by it. AJ Styles is a champion now. Champions get pinned in non-title matches. They almost always get pinned. And then they will win the title match, and then we'll start the cycle over with a new challenger. Just the way they book things, it's fucking awful. Anyway. So, Carrillo is doing a lot of fun stuff, flying back elbows and drop kicks and whatever. Sheamus wins with a roll up and using a handful of tights. So Sheamus attacks Carrillo. And then out of nowhere, he puts in the cloverleaf. And then Ricochet flies in off the top rope from off screen. And he and Carrillo take turns doing crazy backflips and springboards and 450s and just hitting Sheamus with all manner of high-flying maneuvers. I'm watching this going, you know what? I would not be mad at a Carrillo and Ricochet tag team. I wouldn't. First things first, though, and I'm so glad that they decided to do this. Remember how I was talking about a while back, Ali and Ricochet? We're having an actual honest-to-God feud they booked themselves with, like, promos that they shot and edited and cut themselves and put on social media. It's a series of matches to see which one is better, right? And Mustafa Ali and Ricochet were doing all this stuff, and they had one match where Ali won nefariously, you know, with his feet on the ropes, and one match where Ricochet won, grabbing the ropes, kind of like a turnabout is fair play. Then they had a rubber match, but that match ended in a double countout. Was the most hard-hitting match of the three. But then Ricochet got moved right into a program versus Sheamus for the U.S. title, and I was like, oh, does that mean we're never going to get a conclusion to the main event feud between him and Mustafa Ali, because I was really enjoying it. Well, no, it doesn't mean that, because we're getting an honest-to-God blow-off of a feud staged entirely on main event and apparently booked by the two people in it, because it's on main event. Who the fuck would care? But they're trusting Ricochet and Ali to do their own goddamn feud on main event of all things, which is only available like on Hulu and the network. But the network, which is now, of course, the cock, they only get it weeks later. So if you don't have Hulu, you're kind of fucked. I will be watching this on Thursday afternoon when it airs on Hulu, because not only is it the end of the feud, there's a goddamn stip match on main event as the blow-off to this feud. There is an honest-to-God 2 out of 3 falls match to end this feud between Mustafa Ali and Ricochet on main event of all things. Like, I honestly can't believe it. Apparently, it's booked not by them, but definitely by WWE, because there's a double countout involved and a DQ involved. And finally, the final fall is a pinfall. I have no knowledge of this. I'm assuming that the order of the falls is Ricochet, Ali, Ricochet. Ricochet winning, because Ricochet is moving on to do something with Sheamus, and Mustafa Ali is probably going back home to be a dad and a husband for 7 months while they figure out what the fuck to do with him. Other people who weren't on TV yesterday? T-Bar and Mace, who were arguably the most important guys on Raw and SmackDown, on Raw, excuse me, for a couple of weeks. That whole thing where they attacked Drew out of nowhere, you didn't know if they were being bought off by MVP. There was a lot of intrigue. They had their masks taken off during a match with Drew and Braun. And I was like, oh, are we getting new versions of Mace and T-Bar? No, we're just getting maskless versions of them. They're the same guys. They don't have to wear masks anymore. But that was a thing. Like, there was a big deal about that. That was a major storyline, and it's been completely forgotten. And again, it's not like they don't have time to do something with those guys. Have them jump Damian Priest, and then Damian Priest has to find a partner. And the only guy who's around who doesn't have anything to do is John Morrison. Now, I want Don Morrison in NXT, but if they're not going to do that, then John Morrison and Damian Priest shop at the same store, for God's sake. They're wearing the same pants. More like Morrison, dejected, doesn't have Miz around anymore, and Priest saying that, I know it wasn't you. Miz is a douche. We don't like he treated you poorly or whatever. And they wind up being friends. I don't know. You could do a whole lot of shit with, if you just shave off 15 minutes of, if you do Kofi versus Drew, and you're going to go to a non-finish because you know you're going to do the match again next week, then the first match doesn't have to be any longer than 4 or 5 minutes because the match is going to a non-finish. And so you know you're going to run the match back again next week. So you don't want people to get tired of watching the match the first time they see it. So you only give them a taste. And the taste is a sprint for like 4 minutes. And you go, damn, this is so much fun. And then the match gets over. You're like, oh, damn, I really liked watching that. I wanted to see more of it. And then later, when they say, we're going to do the match again, people don't go, damn it. They go, that's awesome. I can't wait to see that match again because I feel like I didn't really get to see it the first time. So now I get to see it the second time and I'm happy. And when you cut 15 minutes off a 22-minute match, or let's be honest, cut 17 minutes off a 22-minute match, now you got 17 minutes where you could do other stuff. You could do things. You can have other matches. Yes, I am looking forward to that 2 out of 3 falls match in spite of myself on main event because I know the guys who are involved in it are going to try and make it as good as possible. So yeah, Ricochet and Carrillo, are they friends? Are they a tag team? What's going on with that? I don't know. So there's an Eva Marie. There's two of them. They always do two of them now. They do the one from the week before. Everyone that is new 1 week will be shown to you again next week. She has come a long way from suggestively draping herself across the hood of a car. I'll tell you that. That promo, where she was like, look at me, laying sexy on this car. Don't you wish you could have me on the hood of this car? Bullshit. Fucking bullshit. Stupid. Okay. Next. I'm a supermodel at a fashion show. Look at me, supermodel. Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, what the fuck is that? Third one. I'm an actress. Look at what an actress I am. I'm an actor at all these things I act in. You are? When I was a little girl, I wanted to be a heroine, just like Angelina Jolie. Eva Marie's 35. Angelina Jolie is 45. Okay. So when you were a little girl, Angelina Jolie wasn't in fucking movies yet. Angelina Jolie wasn't in movies when you were a little girl. Eva Marie? What heroine? Like, are you talking about like Tomb Raider? Nah, you weren't a little girl then. You were in fucking college. Fuck you. So I'm a big famous actress. I'm also a supermodel. I also love to fuck guys on Ferraris. And also, I'm a personal trainer. That's the new one. Where I just want to help everybody be as fit as I am. And it's like, you have on the other roster, a fitness superstar in Bianca Belair who can bench press Otis, who was a track star, who ran the high hurdles and super fast speed, who can jump out of the building, an actual honest-to-God real fucking athlete. And on Raw, you have the gall to cut a promo with Eva Marie running on the beach, and you motherfuckers sped up that film to make her look like she's a world-class sprinter when I know for a fucking fact she ain't. She's doing the thing where you wiggle the ropes in front of you. Oh, look at that. I just want everybody to be as fit as I am. This Eva Marie thing, man. It's not, like, I hate Eva Marie. People are like, well, good, you're supposed to. She's a heel. Is she, though? Because I don't know what Vince McMahon's, like, I don't know what she's doing. I don't know what he wants with this. Like, everybody wants to be me is definitely a heel thing. Unless you're Vince, who honestly thinks that everybody wants to be him. And he doesn't think he's a heel. That's why it's dangerous to assign heel and face shit with Vince McMahon. So, backstage, Sarah Schreiber's interviewing Reginald and Baszler and Nia Jax and Reginald. Last week was a fluke. It won't happen again. You got distracted by Reginald last week. He got messed up from the explosion. He's having nightmares. Who cares? Says Baszler. Good for you, Shayna. We were on Unstoppable Force before he came along, and now he's ruined everything. And it's like, well, he's only trying to help. If I see you outside, if I see you at ringside for one of my matches again, I'm going to give you a real reason to have nightmares. This is all good, but talk is fucking cheap because they're not going to book her to do anything. And there we go. Here it is. Women's tag team titles match. Is that the only match? Shayna and Nia Jax and Shayna versus Natalya and Tamina. Reginald's watching, wearing sunglasses because his eyes were burned, apparently. He's been told by Shayna, do not come down to ringside. He's watching on TV. The match doesn't fucking matter. Who fucking cares about the match? Who fucking cares about the match? What? Who cares? Who could possibly care? We saw this match last week. We saw a six-woman tag with these three women in it, with these four women as part of the six-woman tag. They were two-thirds of a six-woman tag on Friday. Who could possibly care about this match? Reginald decides he's going to come down to the ring. He's there at ringside. The rest of the match happens, right? And he tries to, he distracts the referee, but it doesn't help. Here's what happened. At some point, the action spills to the outside, and it's Nia versus Tamina. And Nia, Samoan drops Tamina over the barricade. Shayna and Natty are the two legal women in the match. And Natty goes for the sharpshooter. And Reginald jumps up on the ring apron. And the ref is distracted. And Shayna counters the sharpshooter into a small package and would have had a pinfall, except for the fact that the referee was distracted by Reginald. Now, they ran this exact same fucking stunt. They run it all the time. But a couple of weeks ago, with Miz trying to help Morrison, one of the things about Miz getting injured and eaten by zombies is that he's off of TV. We're never actually going to see that play out where John Morrison has enough of the Miz and breaks away from the Miz and goes and becomes a babyface. We don't get to see that arc now, because if Miz isn't there, there's no reason to do it.
But again, it's the same fucking distraction they run all the time. Oh no, I was trying to distract the ref to help you, but I ended up distracting the ref to hurt you. Oh no, I'm so sorry. So Shayna is pissed at Reginald and says, go, what are you doing out here? Just leave. And Reginald walks all the way up the ramp. And when he gets to the top of the ramp, everything on top of the ramp explodes in a bunch of fire. This, of course, distracts Shayna, so she gets rolled up by Natty. It's the exact same finish to the exact same match. They ran this match back last week unnecessarily. Remember, nobody gets automatic rematches anymore. That's just not a thing that's been taken off. It's been gone for a while. Nobody gets an automatic rematch anymore. So they did an unnecessary rematch last week for Shayna and Nia to try and get back the belts from Natty and Tamina. That was completely unnecessary. It ended with the ring post going up in flames and hurt, blinding Reginald and distracting Shayna so Natty could get the pinfall. Then on Friday, there was a six-woman tag where Nia and Shayna used up their brand-to-brand invitational slot. They can never do it again. And Shayna choked out Natty. So by virtue of that shit, we got to do another unnecessary rematch. And in that unnecessary rematch part D, we're also going to do the same exact fucking finish, but bigger this time. Because they think we're fucking stupid. They think we'll accept anything. Whatever we do, they'll eat it up. They have no self-respect. They are daring us to turn off the channel and to never turn it back on. So after the match, Nia apparently is dead from hoisting her cousin over the barricade. It's just a thing. She'll never recover from it. She's been laying there on the floor for, I think, 6 or 7 minutes now. So Shayna has to get out the ring and go. And by the way, when everything around the ring exploded in a ball of fire, there was no Lily laugh or whatever, which would have, you know, clued you into that's what it was. But even though we know that's what it was, but Reginald like took a bump that like knocked him back all the way down to the bottom of the ramp. So Shayna comes up to him and says, you okay? She picks him up and grabs him by the collar. You son of a bitch! I'm so tired you ruined my matches. We'll see how you do next week when I face you in the ring. And if you have the balls, I'll make you wish you were in that explosion. This is one of the weakest like show-ending angles I can remember. Everyone's like, there were a bunch of people I saw on Twitter, and I'm like, oh, God bless you for being so naive. I wish I could be you. I do. This is the Shayna we want. The kick his ass, Shayna. That's right. I don't know. You break his arms, Shayna. You're awesome, Shayna. This is the Shayna we want. The Shayna who doesn't take any shit from anybody. Like,
yeah, this is the Shayna we want. And yeah, it would be great if she would like destroy him next week. But like, here's the thing. She's not gonna, though. Like, they have been booking her for months as the weak link in her own tag team. She's taken so many pinfall losses along the way, and Nia's been kept fairly strong. I think she got pinned by Tamina to lose the belts, but that was because there was an actual story between her and Tamina. Other than that, almost every pinfall that they've suffered in non-title matches has all been Shayna. She's absolutely the weak link of the two. And when the dust clears on this inevitable breakup feud between her and Nia Jax, the one who's going to be further down the card is Shayna Baszler. I wish this was not true, but it is. Just the way that they do things. Shayna's, I can't, if, listen, I hope that they do this, but if they do, it will be belying all of the booking they've done for months. I hope Shayna comes out on top. I hope she destroys the wine clown. I hope that she has a match with Nia Jax where she breaks all of Nia's limbs and Nia gets to take like 8 months off in kayfabe. I want her to actually break Nia's limbs. I want her to do it in kayfabe. And let Nia take a year and a half off so we don't have to see Nia anymore. And let Shayna get back to being the world beater, the destroyer, the one who ruined every woman in that Elimination Chamber match. Let's get Nia, let's get Shayna versus Rhea. If Rhea can somehow manage to retain this fucking title versus Charlotte Flair, let's get Shayna versus Rhea and really put over Rhea as this badass babyface, the one who took the title, the NXT women's title from Shayna. That's a story. You can tell that. I never forgot that you took the NXT women's championship from me. I never forgave you for that. So now I'm going to take the Raw women's championship from you. How easy is that to book? Just book that. But they're not gonna, because they hate us. Just look at Raw. Just look at the way they put together Raw. Whatever bright spots there are all also filled with dread. They put in these super long matches to fill time. Like, Asuka and Charlotte was great. It really was. Didn't have to be that long, though. You could do the same exact match in 12 or 13 minutes. You could. You could cut out a lot of things, and you could tell the story of the match in 12 or 13 minutes. That would save 9 minutes. You should never have made the first Kofi and Drew should never have been 22 minutes. Make it 4. So what is that? 18 plus 9. Let's just round it off. Let's say 28 to 30 minutes that were wasted in those two 40-minute matches. It's 44 minutes. It should have been done in, I don't know, less than 20. So you have 24 minutes left to fill. And you could have gotten anybody else on the show you wanted to. A lot of people. You could have started some angles. Could have had a couple of interesting matches. You didn't want to do that. Because you don't care. Why would you? Why would you put in any effort in any of these Thunderdome shows? Hell in a Cell is going to be just, let's figure out who the hell we're going to put in a cell with these people.
here's Hell in a Cell matches. Probably not going to have any title changes. Money in the Bank. Let's just name some people to the Money in the Bank. We're not going to have any qualifying matches probably. And then we'll actually start building as we get closer and closer. Money in the Bank will have a big surprise. Somebody's going to be a big surprise. Maybe Brock will come back and win the Money in the Bank briefcase again. Won't that be great? And then on the Raw after Money in the Bank, he'll dance around with it as a boombox again. Won't that be great? Because all WWE knows how to do is do shit they've already done before. This has been Sour Graps for Raw. I've been your host, Alex Pulowski. Hey, everybody, if you feel like it and you watch AEW, I'll be doing the AEW post show on Friday this week because NBA playoffs, they're moving the show to Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern, which means at, let's say 10 after midnight Eastern time on Friday, I'll be doing a post show, just me. Talking about AEW and the go-home show for Double or Nothing. Because Sean is going to be at Double or Nothing, so he's not available to do the show. So it's just going to be me. If you feel like tuning in and watching me talk about stuff that I don't hate with every fiber of my being, then you should turn in and watch that. Because I really like AEW. I think it's good. So if you'd like... If you only know me from this, maybe take a flyer and watch me on that if you want to see me not angry all the time. But other than that, everything else sucks.